Okay, welcome everybody to the Wednesday night family chat here on Free Conference Call. It is the 12th of April, year 2023. And as we've said before, this is a informal setting for the House of Jacob Israel, just to have a family sit down and discussion about what's going on. And so there's no formal intro, etc. And with that being said, the biggest things that I'm hearing, and then I'll open up the floor here. I'm hearing a lot about the economic thing. I'm hearing some positive things, that there are a lot of people working for alternative systems. Only time will tell if that's true or not. But there is a lot of traffic on the platforms about alternative banking, alternative economies, things like that. So even in the midst of all this doom and gloom, there are signs and glimmers of hope, at least for the remnant. Okay. True. It's a lot of these zombies are just never going to get it, but there's a growing number of people who do seem to be waking up and getting it as the pain is going on. And I guess the biggest surprise in a long time was the announcement I read today. If it's true, I've not been able to get a second verification, but nobody has denied it yet, that the Chinese are going to outlaw circumcision. Now, a lot of people might say, well, what's the big deal with that? Well, to me, that's a huge deal. You're talking about 1.4 billion people, okay? That's a lot of people. So this decision by the Chinese to stop the practice of what the Jews and the Muslims practice as a religion, Americans do it because we think, stupid as we are, that doctors, when they tell us to mutilate a child, that it's good for it, that we believe them. So we do it out of ignorance. The Muslims and the Jews do it either out of perversion or because they think it's religious. So Canada is considering outlawing it as well. The people I talked to in Europe, they haven't been doing it for a long time, so they stopped, and I'm not even sure that they ever got on board with it. They've always questioned why Canadians and Americans are so gullible that we fell into doing all that. So of all people on earth, I would not have picked the Chinese to be a huge group of people to finally realize that it's barbarism, it's mutilation, it's violating the rights of the child, if nothing else. So let's see. Ralph's in a bad attitude apparently here. I'm just reading the notes. Sorry to hear that, Ralph. But so it's like I said, a surprise that that group of people is decided to end that barbaric practice, so that's a good sign. There's also signs, according to some of the economists I listened to today, that people are aware of the fact that the central bank digital currency is a facade for the communist New World Order trying to take over, so there's people working to try to come up with alternatives. Ultimately, it's in the hands of Yahweh himself. So I guess we just have to wait and see as far as how that all comes about. But those were the biggest things. And like I said, we just had a storm go through. So if it comes back on a second or third wave here, you know, we may have another disruption in service. So it's been a touch and go thing here all day. But those are the biggest items I have. Let me make sure everybody is unmuted on my end.
You
can mute it.
Charles,
could you
I'll do that here, Dan. Thanks.
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Ella, you're unmuted. John's unmuted. Matt is unmuted. And Ralph never. Just send a text if you want to unmute it, Ralph, and I'll be glad to do it. Ella says we all have that bad attitude on an almost daily basis. Yeah, because we're under psychological torture. I mean, if you really look at what they're doing, it's psychological torture. So, yeah, I'm just answering a note here. So So we have to expect it to somewhat. I mean, we've been living with 3 years of intense PSYOP, psychological operations and terror. So that 3 years of intense of this intensity going on. And before that, of course, those of us that have been awake and patriotic and all that, we've been going through the mill trying to just deal with the New World Order, wake people up. I mean, I've been in this, my wake-up started in the Air Force in the 1970s, but then it accelerated quite a bit through the 80s, and it really took off with all of the acts of terror, starting with Randy Weaver in the 90s. Randy Weaver and his family, Oklahoma City, Waco, and all of that. So it has been an escalation that we have watched, and it's coming to a climax. It really is. One way or the other, this thing's coming to a climax. So we just, you know, pray for Father's guidance in all of this nonsense. And we just have to do as Yeshua taught us. He said that when this kind of crap goes on, that we look inwardly for the strength within in our walk with the Father, but we also look for the strength that we get in numbers. And numbers, by that I mean fellow believers in Yahweh, not numbers of zombies. They're not going to help us at all, but other believers who have commitments to our race, to our faith, to the Father above, commitments to truth, justice, and honesty, good health. And don't have a grudge against the world trying to destroy everybody like these monsters that are in charge right now. They're actual psychopaths, sociopaths and psychopaths. So we just can't let them have their way, and we have to fight it in every way we can. So with that, I'm going to open it up because I do an awful lot of the chatting. If anybody has something they'd like to bring to the group, I believe everybody's unmuted, so if you just unmute yourself at your phone, you can go ahead and jump in and bring up a subject, ask a question, give a report, anything at all. In silence, I will try to think of more of the things that are going on to share. It's, you know, even, okay, Ella. Go ahead, Ella. You got your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to ask Charles, has he heard anything about Texas seceding from some money thing?
As okay,
I was
you broke up.
Homework, just about half hour.
Yeah, Ella, you broke up.
I wanted to
bit.
Ask Charles, my computer's really on fritz today.
Oh.
Did Charles hear anything about this and the money situation seceding from the Federal Reserve or anything like that?
I take it you're addressing me there, Ella. Have I got the floor, Mike? Dan? Right, thanks. Yeah, I saw in the video on that, Ella, that's a really interesting development. I'm not really fond of the way the Texas government is engineering that break from the Federal Reserve, but at least it's a good step in the right direction.
Did you hear that okay, Ella?
Great. Thank you, Charles.
Hey, Charles, we're getting a lot of... Hold on a minute. Okay, thanks, Charles. Now, Ella, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have a television. I saw that, but there was no way I could look at the news or anything. So I was mainly wondering what was going on. Would you keep an eye on that, Charles, for me, and let me know if you hear anything?
Will do, Ella. In fact, I'm only about a third of the way through the video that you sent me, and I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Okay, keep
it
posted, okay?
Well,
okay, I'll yield.
Okay, now, I don't know about everybody else, but when Charles is speaking, I don't know if he's too close to his mic or what, but on my end, it was kind of garbled a little bit. It was very hard to understand. So what are you talking about, Ella, as far as what's going on in Texas? So I could not make out.
I was doing some homework there. I saw a video. I think I sent it around. You'll probably get today about Texas seceding from the financial control of the Federal Reserve. But unfortunately, I don't have a television, so I had no way I was there, and I don't get a newspaper because I really don't give a crap about what's going on in the world. It's my own world, and I choose to keep it out. I know Charles is intelligent in that area and is watching what's going on, so I just want him to, you know, if he hears anything, to let me know. And by the way, Dan, I happen to notice too that Charles, when he talks, it's very loud. I have to turn my sound when he talks, so something needs to turn down a little bit because it kind of muffles his talk. Is that what you're hearing?
Yes, it is. And it's a good point because some people have to understand these programs like Free Conference Call, Zoom, and all that. If you go into your settings, you can put your microphone in automatic mode where it will automatically adjust the level. Some of them have manual, and if you're in manual, you can adjust it from very weak to very strong. And if you've had any trouble, like lately there's been a lot of trouble. A lot of my settings seem to be getting reset without my input. Kind of strange. Just like I lost the video feature on Free Conference, and I have no idea. I cannot get it undone. I have no idea how it got taken off, but something is blocking it. So that's what we're saying here. So Charles, if you would, take a look at your settings. What appears to me, since I'm somewhat of an electronics tech, it appears that your microphone is being overdriven. The gain on your microphone is so high that the volume is coming across very loud, and when it's that high, it distorts the audio signal. How's that sound for an old audio and radio frequency technician, huh? But anyway, that takes me clear back to the Air Force and schools that we went through when I was learning to be an electronics tech. So we had to learn how frequency modulation, amplitude modulation, you guys know it as AM and FM radio, how that all works and everything. So microphones, even though today they're much more complicated, they're much more perfected cameras and microphones and speakers, they still operate on the same principles as the old ones did. So we do have to be aware of that. Charles, you're unmuted, so did you have something you wanted to say, bud?
Yeah, I adjusted my Linux computer, I think. I got the right setting. Does this sound any better?
That's much better.
All right. Thanks for pointing that out to me. I hope we're good to go from here on out.
Yeah, it's almost perfect.
You sound fine, Charles, but anyone that is speaking to you, their voice comes back.
Right. Matt's talking about the echo, Charles, and it's probably because you have the volume on your computer speakers is too high, and it's feeding back in through the microphone. So the answer there is lower the volume on the speakers or put on some headsets. That's what I have to do.
I did lower my speakers volume. I hope that's better.
Okay, well, we'll know when. But apparently it is better because I don't hear myself being echoed too bad. So, yeah, the lower you can keep the setting of your speakers, the better it is on that feedback problem.
Okay.
So everybody's getting a little lesson in audiophile technical jargon here, but that's what, anytime you hear feedback like that, it's usually a feedback from the speaker back to the microphone. So either take the gain of the microphone way down or lower the volume on the computer and then mute your mic when you're not talking. So that helps that situation quite a bit. And
I can still hear you coming through on Charles, Charles's speaker. I don't know if that's just me.
Okay, Matt says it's still coming through, Charles. So if you would, yeah, there you go. That's the ticket. Just mute your mic, folks, when you're not speaking. That takes care of your coughing, sneezing, blowing your nose, talking to your neighbor, washing dishes, all the typical background noise problems go away if you just mute your mic. That's the fastest, easiest thing to do to help out. So, Texas, that's what I'm saying about all these things that we're hearing about. Texas has been one of the leading states in talking about states' rights and possible secession from the Union, or at least secession from the beast system, and that would certainly be a good thing. Florida is also another one that is leading the way, and so is Tennessee, as far as I know. Now, there's some other states that have some elements of rebellion going on, but it seems like the states of Tennessee, Texas, and Florida seem to be three of the front runners at the moment for all the patriotic activity going on and people waking up and talking about doing something, finally doing something about this monstrosity of a takeover that we've got going on, where the cabal, the wicked ones, are undermining every feature of our society today, and everybody's starting to push back. I'm seeing signs of it even here locally. A lot of people, especially the white people, are starting to wake up to the fact that there is an effort to eliminate us with this massive immigration and everything. I don't see white people being as friendly and welcoming as they used to be, at least in my area, the things I see. They're not, you know, they're not actively trying to get rid of people yet, but at least they've gone from, oh, you're all welcome, and, you know, we just so glad you're here. There's a lot of animosity. There's anger. I know some people, it may seem like small things, but when they call, like, their credit card company or their bank, if somebody has an accent, they tell them, put a manager on or put a supervisor on, put somebody on that knows how to speak my damn language. So, and that, again, doesn't sound like much, but for years I wondered why people put up with that and never said a word. Well, now they're starting to push back. So, again, it's not a major thing, but it shows that there is a shift in how people are looking at things in the country. Matt, of course, is with us from Ireland. So, Aaron Gilbra, but there's signs over there. I sent a couple videos out in the past week or so. There's signs of the Irish are starting to get their dander up a little bit, which is good. They're fighters. Our family has Irish blood in them. So Irish, Welsh, some Scot, English, and German. So that's a good combination, good mix there, especially the Celtic part of it, because all through history, the Welsh, Scots, and Irish were famous for their ferocity in battle. I've read lots of books about this all the way from the 1800s, even clear back to the 1700s, up through World War I and World War II, that the Irish and Welsh and Scotsmen were often given some of the tougher assignments because they were much like our Marines and Special Forces in the old days. They were tough guys. They went out there and got the tough jobs done. So hopefully that spirit within our people will rise up once again, that we're fighters instead of just sitting here taking it on the chin all the time, that we're going to finally start getting together and pushing back. So these are they're perilous times in some ways, and yet they're enervating, or not enervating, but energizing. That's what I'm trying to think of. Energizing times, because our people have been so lame and so dead for so long. It's almost the point you're ashamed to be called white. Our people have been pretty pathetic, but there are signs that there's some life left in our people yet. And by the way, it just reminded me, Ella pointed out to me that I mispronounced atrophy in the Sunday broadcast, so that was my mistake. Normally, I get pronunciation fairly close, and I haven't used the word atrophy in so long, I mispronounced it as a trophy, which, of course, is not correct. So it's atrophy, like muscles and things like that. They atrophy with no use. Same thing with our brains and many of the muscles of our body, but the brain is one of them. Your eyes need to be exercised. I've had different programs I've bought that teach you how to exercise the muscles of your eyes. A lot of people don't realize that that's possible, but it is. You can like do different focusing real close and then focus far away and just go back and forth with that. It's like doing curls or push-ups or sit-ups. Same thing with rotating your eye as far to the circumference of your socket is, you know, hold your head still and look as far to the right as you can and to the left and as far up and as far down. It doesn't sound like much, but the muscles of the eye need to be exercised to the fullest capacity too. A muscle, when Yahweh made this body, he made the muscles to where they need to be worked, okay? To stay fit, to stay limber, they need exercise. And while you're exercising, you're also utilizing your lymphatic system, okay? A lot of people don't know it, but the lymphatic system in your body, the fluid in it is almost like water. It's very clear unless you have a lot of pollution in your body. Then it gets more like milk. And some people, their autopsies when they died, I've read reports where the lymphatic system almost looked like cottage cheese. It was that thick. It was not flowing. It should look a lot like water because the lymphatic system is what carries the poisons out of your body. The lymphatic system has four times as much fluid as your blood. Now, you know how much blood you've got, right? Well, just picture the lymphatic system within your body, all those little tiny vessels, has four times that much fluid in it. The only difference between the blood system and the lymphatic system is that the heart and blood, or the blood system, has a heart to pump it. Your lymphatic system has nothing to pump it. What moves the lymphatic system fluids through your body is motion. That's why people get old. I've said it for years. People today in America become old because they act old. They stop doing the things they did when they were younger that keep the lymphatic system moving, the blood vessels working, the muscles get exercised. When you were younger, you were playing, you were wrestling, you were making love, whatever it was, whatever form of exercise your body was getting. And as you get older, we just start thinking, well, it's time to shut down. Well, that's bad thinking. Bad thinking. We should be just as active. Now, maybe you can't keep up the pace of when you were younger, but you certainly can keep the muscles moving and not vegetating in front of computers or laptops or cell phones or couches and all that garbage. Use the body. It was made to be used. All right. I unmuted you there, Kumri. Go ahead. I think you had a question.
Yeah, more so just something to add.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Along with eye exercises, two of the best things you can do for the eyes that's actually been proven for thousands of years because the Egyptians did it, our ancestors did it, is sun gazing. And to properly do sun gazing is you literally stare at the sun, but only within the first half an hour of sunrise and the last half an hour of sunset. At these points, you will not cause any damage to the retina, and the UV radiation coming from the sun is at its lowest. It's almost non-existent. When you do this, the sun rays hits the eyes and actually triggers certain chemical releases, because people forget your eyes is literally the same tissue as your brain, right? It's the outer extension of your brain. And sadly, because the brain is in your skull, the brain never gets any sunlight. And as we all know, sunlight is some of the healthiest stuff God made. In fact, without the sun, there'd be no life. The sun has been shown to kill fungus, kill bacteria, stop mold, of course, cause life to grow. And it's also been shown that by staring at the early moments of the sun and the late moments of the sun, it can heal the eyes of bacteria, taking away cataracts, bringing back your ability to see far away. It can basically get rid of your need of glasses. It makes color more vivid. It can cure depression and anxiety. Like the health benefits of the sun is near limitless, and we don't even get near amounts. And today, there's not a ophthalmologist alive who will tell you to look at the sun. Instead, they have this idea that if you stare at the sun, even for 10 seconds, it may cause you to go blind later in life, which there is not one scientific literature that has ever been produced that has ever shown staring at the sun at these at the two proper moments that I suggested has ever caused anyone to weaken their eyes, go blind, cause cataracts, or damage the eyes in any way. Now, if you stare at the sun at like high noon, yeah, you're going to damage your eyes.
Right. Yeah, it has to be at the very beginning of the day and the very end of the day. Like you said, within 30 minutes of sunrise, 30 minutes of sunset, where it is the weakest. I mean, I get up a lot of times at the crack of dawn, and you can go outside and you can stand there and you can tell the sun's rays are not anywhere near as strong. The UV is not very strong. Even the sun itself is not very strong. There's not a lot of heat to it. But like down here in South Florida, you go out at midday in the bright sunlight and it feels like you're in a microwave oven. That's the difference. So I personally have looked at the sun during the times that Jeremiah is talking about. I've never had a problem with it. In fact, if you incorporate, like Ella there is putting all the different exercises, and Jeremiah is too, but I've done those exercises. I even use the hot water and the cold ice water going back and forth on closed eyes. I'm going to tell you, your eyes, even if your vision does not improve, the health of your eyes, you'll feel the difference. It is tremendous, the difference, because all of those exercises, like the same thing, look at a bright light bulb, like a 100-watt light bulb, then close your eyes and take all the light away. So you go from very intense light to very weak light. That's exercising your eye. Doing the stuff outside is exercising it. Movement is exercising it. If you do those things, you'll start to feel that there's extra blood working into your socket of your eye, and you'll feel the difference, no doubt about it. My personal belief is if you can keep it up, which is what the tough thing is, because everybody's busy and they don't really have, they don't think they have anyway enough time to devote to it. But if you can keep it up, your eyesight could improve. I've not been to an eye doctor, I think, in almost 4 years now. So I'm using older glasses. I notice that they don't work as good. But what I'm doing is using weaker glasses when I do use them and going a lot without glasses. And it's almost like it's making my eyes work harder. And I have not been checked yet, but I almost swear that my far vision what do we call that, nearsighted and farsighted? My farsighted vision is getting stronger. I don't feel like I need glasses as much. Everything's still fuzzy, but I don't feel the need for them as much, and my eyes are much more comfortable. So, we were told things because people in lab coats with MD or ophthalmologist or specialist or whatever after their name. And my parents were two of the people that bought into this too. They know more than we do. So we have to listen to them. That was most of my family's that way, and I've got a lot of nurses and doctors in my family. We were raised with the idea the guys in the lab coats, they make lots of money, they went to a lot of schooling, so they know more than us. The problem with that is that could be true, except that the boys with the little hats snuck in through Rockefeller, and they took over the medical mafia in this country, or they should, I should say, they turned medicine into a medical mafia. So they took advantage of our innocence and our gullibility about people in lab coats, and they learned that if the guys in lab coats tell us something, we follow suit, whether it's true or not. And so they just paid people to stand in front of a camera. Some of them were not even medical people. They just put on a lab coat. They're just actors, like doing commercials for cereal or dog food. But they put a lab coat on them, got them to tell us that this, this, or this was what the medical profession advised, and we did it. Which gets me back to the thing I was talking about at the beginning of the program, circumcision. Why did we do it? We didn't think about it. We just trusted these trusted voices that, well, that's what they're telling us to do it. It's the right thing to do, and everybody else is doing it, so we'll just do it. That's wrong. That's why I love websites like the one that the fellow started that's called Eat the Weeds. And that's all together with no spaces. Eat the Weeds. Because virtually everything they've told us is a useless weed in our yard is actually very healthy for you. And it's not a weed at all. But they're just telling you that because they don't want you to eat it. They don't want you to get the benefits from it. The famous one for me, anyway, was dandelion. Okay, I grew up where my mom and dad hated seeing dandelions. They wanted us to do everything we could possibly do to get the dandelions out of the yard. So they used to get pissed off whenever they'd catch us as kids out there holding up that dandelion and blowing the seeds off because we like watching the little seeds and the paratrooper float out there and go all over the yard. Of course, then that just made more dandelion. But not once did anybody say, well, you know, almost everything on the dandelion plant is medicinal. You can make a tea with it. You can eat the leaves in your salad. The roots are used for different things. It's just unbelievable. So here we're told, and we just accepted it, we're spending a lot of money and energy trying to kill them off. And we're trying to kill off something that would be very healthy for us because, quote, the trusted voice has told us it's a weed and got us to spend a lot of money down at the hardware store buying all this poison to put on the ground to get rid of it. So we've been lied to, here we go again. We've been lied to about almost everything in my adult life. That's really the sad point when you've been around as long as I have and realize that for almost seven decades, the people I thought I could trust lied to me. I'm going to tell you that is discouraging. That will cause you to be slightly depressed when you realize the depth of the deception and the people involved in the deception. Again, people that you should have been able to trust. And you find out that the preachers, the medical people, the school professors and teachers, your military commanders, your police officers, even the elders in your own family, were all part of the cover-up, whether willingly or not. Doesn't matter. They were part of the cover-up and did not tell us the truth. So that caused a whole lot of our problem. Okay, I'm going to yield. Does anybody else have anything? Anything come to mind? Anything you're interested about?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
More about the eyes. One thing I forgot to mention is when you do eye gazing or any kind of eye exercise, you want to make sure you're not wearing glasses and you're not having contacts because contacts and glasses will nullify any kind of health benefit from the rays of the sun. That you have to stare at it with bare eyes.
Okay, good point. Yeah, you're right. You don't want any, in other words, you don't want anything artificial between the sun and your eyeball.
Correct. Even a window will negate any kind of health benefit the sun is going to do.
Right. Well, speaking of the sun, it reminds something from my childhood. When I was born, I had what they call jaundice, which means my skin was yellowish colored. And I can't remember, Ella might be able to tell you since she was a nurse, what causes it. I can't remember now, but a jaundiced baby was yellowish in color. And what they used to do when I was born, the nurse would take me and unfold my swaddling clothing and walk in front of a window so the sun could shine on me. That was the standard treatment for jaundiced babies, was sunshine. Now today they want to do it all artificially, but back in the 1950s the nurse just took you out until mom was healthy enough, and then mom would do it, but just hold the baby in front of bright sunlight. Let the rays of the sun hit the child and the jaundice would go away. So again, you know, we had simple things that we could do, but we fell for the big lie. We fell for the idea that guys in lab coats know more than our ancestors and they have a much better way of doing it. How could it be much better to do it artificially than just sit the baby and mom and the baby to get a rocking chair and sit down somewhere and be exposed to the sunlight? I mean, how much simpler, cheaper, and better can you get? You see what I mean? It's just incredible to me how much the lies and deceptions are. It just boggles the mind sometimes. It really does. Ella, I think you had your hand up. Did you have a question? Maybe not.
Well, I do know in the old days, one thing they did for any kind of skin disease, skin ailment, even wounds, like during the Civil War, one thing they did to protect against infections and like gangrene is they would literally open the wound up to the sunlight, and they would bathe the wounded soldiers in sun, and they would not get infections.
Right. Yep, sunlight's important. I saw another movie, a recent movie, where they're showing this feature that was in the movie The Gladiator when it came out, something I had learned just before The Gladiator came out about what we call maggots, those little white worms that crawl over a dead animal out in the field. And we used to think they were hideous little creatures when I was a kid. But we're finding out that maggots are actually very, very beneficial. And so this movie that was about the Middle Ages over in somewhere in Europe, I can't remember where, but it was back in like the 1600s or whatever. But this one soldier got a very severe wound across his face, a very deep gash that almost took his eye out. And, I'll get take care of that here in just a second, Ella. So this person took and cleaned the wound quite a bit, and while he was sleeping, picked up some maggots that were over on a dead animal and sprinkled them on his wound and then covered it up. And a lot of the people don't know this, but a maggot will not eat healthy flesh. Okay? Maggots only eat dead and dying flesh. They also secrete a antibiotic. There's a fluid that comes out of their body that's an antibiotic, and they by their movement, they're spreading it all over the wound. And the movement of all this, of the maggots all over the wound, massages blood into the system. So there has actually been stories during the World Wars where soldiers left on a battlefield because it got too dark to find them, and they had to spend the night out there with these horrific leg wounds and arm wounds and things like that. And when they finally went out the next day and got the guys and brought them back to the hospital, the guys out in the mud in the fields with the maggots all over their wounds were in better shape than the guys that were brought into the hospital tent. So once again, Yahweh in his mercies and in nature has provided for us, and we ignore it. We go the way of man, and nature would have given us better care. You're unmuted now, Ella, so you should be able to say something.
Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you.
Yeah, my computer just stopped, and it kicked me off, and I had to sign back in again. Then when I came in again, it said you have been removed from the queue. So I'm back now, so thanks for whatever you did. It worked.
Okay. Were you going to tell us about Jonas?
Anything else you want to ask me?
Huh?
Yeah, John problem with the liver.
Okay.
When the bile backs up in the blood, it turns skin yellow. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you were breaking up about every third word.
Me? If I speak slower here?
Go ahead and try it again.
Have jaundice, that's the bile from your liver is into blood, and it turns your skin yellow.
So the bile is backed up and it gets into your blood?
Yeah, it's from your liver. The bile is wrong with the function of your, and the bile backs up into your, caused by something new. Newborns get it when their red blood cells are going to be liver detoxified, and there's hemoglobin free in the blood. Into your skin, it shows as your jaundice. So it could be blood problems or liver problems.
Okay, very good. Kumri also says.
I'll mute again now.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, when you're removed from the queue, that just means the question and answer queue. It should not knock you off the station, because I've taken other people off. Once I answer their questions or whatever, I remove them from the queue. That just means you can re-ask a question and go back into the queue. The question and answer queue is just the place, so I see
you. I was out of the queue.
Okay, you're breaking up again.
My computer screens and it said you have to sign in again. I tried to do that and then I could said no, my clicked that mute thing and moved from the queue and I couldn't speak. So I think the computers are...
Could be.
I'm thinking you can't hear me.
No, I can't. I'm only getting about every fourth or fifth word. Charles,
I'll
you're breaking
to
up too.
Yeah, it's my computer, I think. I'll just mute my...
Yeah, it could be your signal, okay? It might not be your actual computer. It might be your internet connection is hokey. It's almost like you guys are having a storm instead of me. Charles says Ella should try calling back in. She already did that once. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there is something wrong with the connection. It's not just me then. I thought it might be just me. But again... we carry on, do the best we can. Some nights it's like near perfect, other nights it's not. Okay, open mic. Has anybody else got anything they want to add to what we've been talking about? Ella's going to sign out and try again. Okay, very good. How about at your end, Melissa? Anything going on there?
Not too much. I've been playing in the dirt the last couple days.
Making those potatoes.
I'm sorry, what, Matt?
You're what?
Matt, I didn't catch what Matt said.
Good, Matt, say it again.
I said making those potatoes.
Oh, yeah. I planted quite a few things the last couple of days, so I've been having fun.
I did hear a report today that that is happening to a lot of people across the country, maybe even across the world, that the people are starting to do what me and many of my friends have been doing for the past about 7-8 months now, and that is planting trees, fruit trees, medicinal trees like the moringa and the neem tree, and planting herbs, planting vegetables, and it seems to be happening to quite a few people. Now, the zombies aren't doing it, but then again, I've said for a long time, if the zombies pass away, they won't bother me at all. I'm not going to miss them. But the people that have heart, the people that care about health and things like that, they're starting to realize that these big box stores, the pharmacological, the ag departments, agricultural departments and all, they're not our friends, okay? They do whatever the huge corporations tell them. And again, they're just not our friends. So we need to get away from all that. Ella, do you see? Oh, you need me to unmute you. Okay, gotcha. I unmuted you, Ella, if you want to try it again. Oh, okay. You're unmuted at my end, but go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little better.
Okay, on again. Did that help a little?
It helped some, but you're still dropping off. So I don't think it's your computer. I think it's your internet service providers. Got something going on. Just my guess, anyway.
I know when I've been... Videos buffer forever today.
Yep, that's a sign that the problems between your unit and your ISP or your internet service provider. I would call them and tell them the trouble you're having. They may have... there's either a hardware problem, and some of these companies have software limits, choke points that they can put on your account to where if certain conditions are met, it will, through the software, it'll slow your connection way down. So you might want to call them tomorrow and bitch and tell them to stop toying around with your ISP service or you'll cancel them. That's what I usually do. Either fix the problem or cancel my account. That usually gets somebody's attention to where they'll actually look at it. Ella says the buffering's terrible. Yeah, well, my computer got bounced off 2 or 3 times earlier, especially during the storm. That's why I just shut everything down. I'm talking to a lot of people that are having kind of funny things happen on phones, funny things are happening on texting, and funny things are happening with our computers. Again, I'm not saying it's by design, but it just seems odd that so many people are having similar type problems here lately. So I really don't have anything else to present unless somebody else has anything that they want to bring up here.
Dan, can I raise
your hand? Go ahead, Charles.
Thank you. How's your progress coming looking through that coronavirus jury verdict?
I've got it sitting right here on my desk. I'm still going through it, but I'm making progress.
All right. Is it looking pretty good to you generally?
In general, it is, yeah.
All right.
I'm not an expert on these documents. I don't hold myself to be an expert on them, but... I think we're coming up to a very, very strong change in the force, if you will.
Yeah.
very, very soon. So I have a feeling that a lot of stuff is going to happen between now and the end of the year. So we just have to stay flexible because I don't have a crystal ball to see the exact changes. I just know we're going to see changes, significant changes, very soon.
Right, right. I would just add to that that we need to be in a position to influence those changes. So it's not just evil people that are influencing what's going to develop. We have to be in a conflicted position with them, so at least some of the developments will work in the favor of God's people here.
Right. Yep. Well, my biggest thing for 30 years now has been two things. Where are the men? Where the hell are the men? And number two, where are the George Soroses and the Rockefellers of our side? And not everybody on our side is dirt poor, all right? Now, I agree that none of us are in this to make money, okay? And generally speaking, the world doesn't treat truth tellers very well financially. That's true. But I got to believe there's more out there than what we're seeing. I could be wrong. It's just a feeling I've got. But it just seems odd that we have all these people that have good intentions and great things they want to do, but almost nobody supports it. Almost nobody. So right. It just boggles my mind as to what did they do to our men that they have put their swords away and don't want to get up and fight anymore? And what did they do to make everybody so miserly that they don't even support good causes? I don't know. It just boggles my mind. I can't wrap my head around that. What? I mean, I look at people like John Hagee and Kenneth Copeland and that Jew, what the hell's his name, that preacher that claims to be the prosperity guy, Osteen, obviously a Jew. All right, these guys don't deserve your attention to buy a used car from them. I mean, they just looking at them, just listening to them. And yet they got these mega churches full of these zombies that are throwing money at these quacks. I don't know. I don't. Maybe it's the way of the world. It'll be that way till I go home and be with the Father, and it's just never going to get any better. Maybe that's
personally,
it. Go ahead, Matt.
Personally, I'm from my own observation, I think we're at the stage now where the men aren't going to do anything. That's my own personal observation from what I can see. I've gotten a bit fed up myself of this. I even joined the National Party here about a month ago, and I emailed them, and I was like, hello, you know, give me a shout there if you're doing any meetings. I'm not really into, I don't think there's any political solution, obviously. I think we're all in agreement with that there. And I never heard back from them, and I was like, okay. To be honest, I think we're at that stage now where the men aren't going to do anything. We're not good. Like, if we were going to do anything, we'd have it done. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? We're hanging around here talking forever. It's been years. It's been years. What are we doing? We're too dispersed. We're too dispersed. This is one of the biggest problems. You've got all, like, obviously, you folks over in the States are dispersed. I'm here in Ireland. I don't know anyone that cares. No one cares. So, I to be honest, without divine intervention, I think we're screwed. I think that's where we are, personally. Not to be a black pill and big nepotism, negative, but right. that's the way I see it.
Yep, I understand, and you're right. We do need divine intervention, regardless, and the scriptures support that because it does say that in the latter days things would be so bad that if he didn't intervene, no flesh would be saved. It also says that he will not allow anyone else to take his glory. When the new world order gets taken down, he will get all the credit, not us. So divine intervention has to be right around the corner. At least that's the way I see it. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I completely agree. We have to be at the precipice of it. I think we have a few very, very, very hard years ahead, to be honest. I think we've got another few very hard years, but I think we're at the precipice of it because it's evident now. It's staring you in the face. We're too sparse. If we haven't come together now, when is it? It's not going to happen. Like, look at the last 3 years. I don't think that we're going to all of a sudden come together. As much as I'd love to be optimistic about it, I just don't see it happening. You know. I don't see it here myself. I don't see anyone coming together, and I get very frustrated at times about that, because I'm like, I speak to people, even my own friends, and they just don't care. They don't care.
So they see the evil that's going on, and they're okay with it. Is that what you're saying, Matt?
For the most part, yeah, they're unbothered as long as they can, you know, sit down and watch the telly. We're not at war at all, Dan. You understand that? We're not at war as long as I can, you know, buy my own clothes at the shop and pick out a few beers and watch the telly in the evening and listen to my own songs. I'm not at war, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same old story, and I think that this is the problem. It's the major problem with people's mentality. Unless they literally have shackles around their hands, they don't perceive it the way that we do. It doesn't, the comprehension isn't there. It's completely incomprehensible to the average mind, and even to the normal folks that do sense that there's something not quite right. But I can still go to work and I can still watch the telly in the evening, and therefore there's nothing wrong.
There was one of the channels that I watch, I can't remember which one of them now, but it was one of the financial forecasters that I think is one of the more honest ones anyway. He would agree with you, Matt. His opinion is that things are bad, but they're going to have to get even worse before our people finally wake up. So his forecast was that over the next year or so, don't expect anything too good to be going on for our side. And basically, hunker down, much like the scripture says. The Titanic is going down, and you better get in a lifeboat, or what the scripture calls the ark. You better form an ark of some kind and get in it with a group of people to rough this thing out, because they're going to continue their campaign to trigger us, psychologically torture us, and try to limit our ability to get energy, food, shelter, anything they can do to torment us. Just like the scripture says, it would be like pricks in your side, little thorns poking you. Every way you turn, you've got a great big 3-inch needle. It's kind of interesting. Down here, there's some palm trees in the yard that they have 2 to 3, sometimes 4-inch long, razor sharp, I call them needles, as part of the palm branches. And I'm going to tell you something, there's some kind of oil on those needles, and when you get poked by that, you'll get like a small blister on your skin from where that oil gets in there and irritates your skin. So it's not only the stabbing pain of that big long needle, It's enduring pain because that oil gets in there and irritates for a day or so. So that's what the enemy's like to us. They're like pricks or thorns or needles sticking us and irritating us on a daily basis. But the good news is they don't have the right to overcome us. We can overcome it. It's just not going to be easy. And part of the way we do that, you know, go ahead.
Emphasis on the pricks. I'm a rice.
Yeah.
I might add, it's an oxymoron here in this country. Up in the north of Ireland, there's constant struggle up in the north of Ireland. On Easter Sunday, just gone, we have young men my age, which I would love to be around if they weren't completely ignorant and were completely lost, that are throwing Molotov cocktails at police cars, no problem. And I'm like, where are they doing that anywhere else? You know? But as I said, completely lost. They're only doing it because it's this old feud that they have in this country, you know, between Brits, and they've got this. I've no interest in this, but they have their own struggle there up in the north over nothing. And I'm like, you could be fighting for so much more. Mm. And yeah. Easter Sunday just gone, throwing Molotov cocktails at police cars, no problem. And I'm talking maybe 10, 20 young fellas, no problem. No problem. It's like water off a duck's back, and you see it nowhere else. And it's broad daylight. Broad daylight. And I'm down the south, and I'm like, oh, I wish. But it's for nothing. They do it for nothing. It's not like there's a cause behind this. And I'm going, why? Why are you wasting your time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing that some of our people will get up and get in the police's face, or like you're saying there in Ireland, they'll get up there and they'll throw Molotov cocktails at police cars for no good reason, and yet who's doing anything to expose or eliminate the enemy of all of us, which are these Khazarian mafia types, if you want to call them that, that are literally strangling the entire earth, the enemy of every type of person, every race, every bit of mankind, enemies to it all, because they hate everybody but themselves. And yet you don't, well, I take that back. There are some incidences recently that I've read about. They are being confronted at least a little bit, but not to the level you're talking about. So I certainly understand your frustration.
Yeah,
okay, I yield. Anybody got anything? Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, it's quite frustrating. It's quite frustrating. We'll definitely have I'm thinking another. We're looking at the bones of a decade, I think. Personally, I think we're looking at the bones of 10 years before divine intervention, because people are just too complacent, too distracted. It's the main thing. Way too distracted. There's too much going. There's not enough going on in people's minds. The cogs aren't turning in the brains. And it's quite baffling to perceive. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I don't know.
Did you see where they're trying to promote the next wave of idiocy? I think you're calling it the bird flu or whatever. Again, supposedly out of China. I think it's called the avian or bird flu. They're trying to promote it almost like they did COVID 3 years ago. Did you see anything about that? And my first thought was, is there anybody on this earth so stupid as to believe anything these people say anymore? I mean, I'm sure there are, unfortunately, but I mean, after 3 years of mental torture, it's hard to believe anybody would believe the garbage these idiots come up with. I mean, they don't even change their modus operandi. It's the same garbage. It's, you know, just put it in a different wrapper. I mean, 3 years ago it was coronavirus. Oh my God. Whoa, put masks on, social distance, all So you slow the spread, all the other garbage and lies, and now they're doing it all over again, except that they're calling it something different. I don't know. Maybe mankind has reached the point where we need about two-thirds to three-quarters of mankind to disappear. Maybe we've reached that point. Maybe I'm looking at this wrong. I should be thinking, hallelujah, that our Father is going to thin out the herd and get rid of some of these bastards because they're just too damn stupid. They're too lazy. They're stupid. They're apathetic. They don't give a shit about anything. Why are they here? Why are they even sucking air? I don't get it. You know, if you don't want to fight for something, if you don't believe in anything, you don't want to work for anything, then why even be in existence? What, to play more computer games? Go ahead.
I say it to my dad all the time, and he agrees with me. And I say, as much as I love our people, so many of us have to go. So many of us. And I hate to say it, but there's just so many of us that are just so... It's ridiculous at this stage. It's like, why even live? Why bother? Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're walking around and you're just, as you said, sucking in air. You're eating your GMO foods, you know. You're eating your fake butter spread. You're not even eating butter. It's ridiculous at this stage, the whole thing. And as much as I love our people, as I said, I say it to my dad the whole time and he agrees with me, it's very hard to love our people sometimes. It's very, very difficult. Because you just look around and you go, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Right.
How can you live your life in such a manner?
Yeah. It reminds me, on the farm I grew up on, I used to have to go up a dirt lane, we call it, a small road or a lane from the farmhouse. It was about a quarter mile, maybe a half mile up to the road to get the school bus, but On the way up the lane, I would pass a field of corn that my father and I would plant every year, and it was about an acre, and it was for quite a stretch of this road. I would just walk past row after row after row of these stalks of corn, and it was about that time that the Sunday school teacher was teaching about the wheat and the tares and how he would gather the wheat into the barn. And as I'm walking past the cornfield, it just dawned on me that maybe we on this earth are very similar to that cornfield. And Yahweh has planted seed in the cornfield, which is us as people. And just as the cornfield, there were some stalks of corn that were very tall, very green, very straight, with these beautiful golden ears of corn growing on them. And there would be other stalks that the corn would be almost black. Some kind of mold would get to it or a worm or whatever. And it made me think that maybe that's what this experience here is like. The farmer plants the corn. He has people like me. My dad would send us out with a sickle, and we would cut out the bad stalks of corn. And you would pile them up and let them dry, and then when they were dry enough, you would burn them in the fire because they weren't good for feed for the cattle, and they weren't good for seed for next year's corn. They weren't good, so you threw them into the fire and got rid of them. But the good corn was harvested and would become the seed for planting in other fields later on to produce even more. And so ever since I was a child, that analogy has stuck with me, that's kind of what we're going through here. He planted this world with not only the Adamic people, but there's other peoples that have been here for a while too. But we're growing up, his Adamic children are growing up amongst these other trees in the garden, and he's waiting to see what the best ears of corn are to harvest for other uses on the other side of the firmament. Because we don't know what's out there. So that's my analogy, and it makes more sense about what I'm seeing go on when I think of it that way. I yield.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and obviously that is in scripture. And I often see people that they write like tweets on Twitter. I often see, I'm not on any social media, I'm only on like Telegram, but I often see screenshots of people, and they'll speak about what you're saying, but they'll be very, very shallow in their interpretation, where they'll say, oh, you know, our father put us on this earth and he made us corruptible, and you know, and then he gave himself for us because, you know, and then they say, oh, thanks, with like a question mark, and it's like, no, you're completely wrong. It's such a shallow view. And I love Wesley Swift's interpretation of it, where he says, we were here before the foundation of the earth, and therefore we volunteered to be here. So it's not this case of we were just put here as a corruptible people. It's not how it went. It's a very shallow view, the way some people view God. And it, you know, it's this thing of, oh well, if God was real, then why does bad things happen? It's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Maybe how you perceive things. Like,
yeah, that's very true. I sometimes look at it like, in my quiet time, if I'm just sitting and kind of meditating or praying, I often think, well, what if I was the Father sitting on his throne, whether that's literal or figurative, it doesn't matter. And I had this experiment on this place called Earth, and I planted this seed, and I'm watching it, and I have a purpose. I have a reason. I need to know who the best of my people are. I need to know, who can I trust when I'm not looking? Who can I give great responsibility to and know that they'll carry through and not become lazy or not give in to bribery or other lusts of the flesh? Who is it I can trust if I send them out to some distant world somewhere else that we have no idea what it's like? Who can I trust? Who has what it takes? Who gets the point? And if that was me, would I do what I see happening here? And the answer is yes, for the most part. That's exactly what's going on. All of us are being tempted, you know. We're all being tempted on a daily basis to not be able to fulfill our commitment to our Heavenly Father. And that's why he said it's so important to be what? Overcomers. Overcome the things that happen to you in this world. Stay true to the course. Or as he said in the parable about the farmer taking a hold of the plow. Once you get a hold of that plow, you can't let go. I used to plow fields. I know what it's talking about. Once you start to plow down that row, you can't stop. You can't let go. You can't veer to the left or to the right. You got to stay in the trench, and you got to keep it going straight. So, you know, sometimes that analogy helps me to make sense of a world that many times it's hard to make sense of it, really.
I have often ranted to my old man about the same thing that you're speaking about now. In great frustration at times, and because I don't consider myself to be a good man, you know, I'm flawed, just as everyone else that is listening, just as yourself, and I've often said to him, I said, you know, like, why? Like, what is the, I've said, if I was our father, I'd get rid of a lot of us. I said, there's no point, in my opinion. I said, we're all too flawed. And he just says to me, well, sure, what's the point, so? And I think it's the most simple answer. What's the point? If that's the case, why would he do it? Why would he give himself for us? What is the point, if that's the way that you think? And as much as I can be negative at times and think we shouldn't be saved, it is the most simple answer. Well, sure, what's the point? what's the point? So, if he gave himself for us, you know.
Well, and, it's a good thing, yeah.
I think he's completely right.
Yeah, it's, we have to remember that, yeah, we're flawed, but I keep going back to David, King David in the Bible. And it's often said that, you know, he was somebody that the Father loved, a man after his own heart. Now, David, what's that?
An apple of the eye.
Yeah, he was the apple of his eye. So even with his flaws, and David had flaws, yet the scripture says he was referred to as the apple of his eye, meaning that he had favor in Yahweh's sight. Why was that? And when I contemplate that, it's because of David's heart. His heart was in the right place. His motives were in the right place. His desire to serve our Father in heaven and his people was in the right place. Yep, he had some flaws and weaknesses as a man, but not his heart. I don't think his heart ever truly wavered from the Father. I believe he, from the time he was a boy until his death, I believe he loved the truth of Yahweh. I believe he did his best to serve him in spite of his flaws. And I believe that's what made him so special to the Father. And I believe that's what he's looking for in each of us today. Yeah, we've got flaws. All of us do. I mean, I'm sure it's embarrassing sometimes to think that he's watching on high and I'm going to have to give an account of everything I've said and done. That's going to be an embarrassing day. But in spite of that, if our heart's in the right place and we're trying to do the right things, I believe he still walks with us. I think he walks with us, he talks with us, and he protects us. Because we are a small remnant. We're not the vast majority of these lemmings and these little soy boys and girls out here. We're not. And if you think about it, you're part of that small group that he called his elect for the latter days. You're part of that small group that gets it. So that means that you're part of that group that's going to be in a major leadership position in the very near future. It's not here right now because most of these people don't care. They don't give a damn about the truth. But there's a day coming when the only ones left walking this earth are going to be the people that do care. And you're going to be part of the leadership of that group of people in bringing this world back to be the paradise it was meant to be, living under his law instead of a bunch of sick, demented men's law. So we have to keep that in mind, too. Are you?
Yeah, God willing. God willing. Here's hoping. And the sooner the better. The sooner the better. It gets quite frustrating. Yeah, excuse me for my ranting tonight.
No, not. It's not ranting to me. We're here to speak our minds amongst brethren, and that's... And that's what we're doing. So, you know, I think it's great. If we can't speak this way with each other, then who are we going to speak with? Because you're not going to get a chance to talk to any of these people that walk in the street out here and do that. So it's like Ella and Melissa and Kumri or Jeremiah, Lane, Charles, Ralph. Everybody says that this is our chance to sit with like-minded brothers and sisters, even though we're separated by thousands of miles in some cases. At least through this technology, we're able to basically sit in a room together and talk about the things that matter. And that to me is a huge blessing, especially today. So go ahead, Jeremiah. You got your hand up. Can't find the buttons? Fingers too fat for that phone? Is that what it is? You don't have one of them new phones with the gigantic buttons on it like they have for the old timers? Okay. He must be, maybe he's at work. Take your hand well, down then.
I want to say something real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I think all of us have felt like Matt feels at one time, maybe more than once. And Dan, you did a great job of what you said to him. It really hit home. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's I think the father gets a kind of grin on his face when he looks down and sees small groups of us like here tonight, and the fact that we put all the ego, we leave our egos at the door, and you know, we all the little pet peeves that we all have and trying to nitpick with one another, put all that outside, leave it outside. We come in here and bear our souls to each other because many of us are hurting. And, you know, it's sad because I field phone calls and emails all day long, every single day. And so many of our people feel exactly like Matt and Melissa have said, and others too. But they are, even some of the strongest men I know are feeling, how should I say it? Depressed, anxious and depressed over the situation. But you have to remember, at no time in the history of man on earth, that we're aware of anyway, at no time have we been under this kind of pressure because we did not have this technology. You could go out of town into the woods and find privacy, or you could go to a small village somewhere and find privacy. There is no privacy today. They're literally monitoring every electronic form of communication, and if that's not good enough, they can send drones or a police car or get your neighbors to spy on you. I mean, we have never been under this kind of surveillance and mental torture the way it is today. Now, we have suffered far greater physical death and torture and torment. There's been plenty of times in history, and Matt can attest to even the Irish history and the United Kingdom and Europe, and the things our people have put up with in the past has been tremendously evil and very, very harsh as far as physical. But even then, life itself was so much simpler. Even though life was harsh and it could even cost you your life in combat and different things that were going on, but at least life outside of the battlefield was very simplified. Whereas today, everything has been compromised. Everything is complicated. Everything requires login IDs and passwords and verification codes. And even then, they can get in there and mess with your stuff. So we are dealing with things that at no time in man's history have we had to deal with all of it all at once. The zombies, the disgusting behavior of our race, trying to teach people the right way when the enemy's got control of the television and the images and constantly bombarding our people with lies and deception and pornography and all of the vices that our people have. This is kind of like new territory. And so, once again, it puts the emphasis on who we are here. Yeah, we're small in number, but then again, the 12 guys that walked with Yahshua 2,000 years ago, it was just a dozen guys. He trusted 11. Just a dozen guys. What's that?
11.
Well, they had to get rid of one and reappoint somebody else, but that's true.
Yes, sir.
So, but he picked Judas for a reason, because he knew Judas, being a Jew, he would betray him. So he had a purpose for all 12 guys, and then the guy that took Judas's place, I believe, was a stellar individual, much like the other 11. So, but the point of it is, it wasn't a huge army. It was a small group, much like we are, a small group, but very dedicated with pure hearts. and just the desire to please our Father and to help one another get through this dark period of time. That's why I consider it an honor to use the platform to educate people about natural health and about gardening. And I believe that's why he puts it in my heart to do the things I did. I didn't plant a garden for most of my adult life. I grew up on a farm, but once I left for the military, I went to the store like everybody else to get my food or to a farmer's market, but I didn't grow it myself. So now I'm reverting back to my childhood, and I'm finding the joy that you get from putting a hunk of potato in the ground and watch it turn into a beautiful plant, or putting a apricot seed and watch it turn into a tree, or putting in some tomato seeds and watch them turn into these big vines that produce so many tomatoes you can't hardly keep up with them. That's like one little tiny chunk of potato with an eye on it. You put it in the ground, that'll turn into 8 to 9 pounds of potatoes. That little chunk of potato you put in the ground will turn into 8 or 9 pounds of potatoes. I mean, is our Father good to us or what? But we just walked away from all that. And it's, to me, learning about natural health and farming again and purifying water and just living a simpler life. Like all the men that I talk to, we're all looking to get on a piece of property. We don't want a big expensive house. None of us do. We're looking to build, like I said, maybe a Quonset hut or a metal barn and live out of a metal barn. That's it. We don't want fancy. We just want something simple and strong that we can be at peace in it and enjoy hard labor, going out in the sun and fresh air and planting our crops and taking care of the animals and harvesting it and sharing it with neighbors. Get back to what we used to be. And I was blessed to grow up in the 1950s and 60s when, at least in the area where I grew up, our family still got together on Sundays for a Sunday meal, and we'd spend Sunday afternoon with all the children playing around the farmhouse and out in the fields, and the elders would be sitting on the porch on rocking chairs and having conversations. That was the childhood I grew up in. So I know it wasn't that long ago our people still knew how to do all this stuff. So we've only been bombarded with all this with the advent of technology. And as my dear friend Larry told me many years ago, technology is not our friend. It's really not. It was put here to divide us, to separate us, to get us to go our separate ways so that we don't even reach out to each other or talk to each other, etc. So with that, I yield. Does anybody have anything? We're at the hour and a half mark. I was going to go ahead and wrap things up unless somebody has something they want to bring up.
Real quick, Dan.
Sure. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah. I posted a web link above Ralph's comments there near the end of the chat window. That's a 5-page PDF document that explains my research, and I've been trying to communicate this. Maybe I'm not real efficient, but we're standing on the shoulders of better researchers that have gone before us. And God's model of government is clearly identifiable. We've got a blueprint. If we from the biblical text, we know that especially Revelation, it talks about the 144,000. And I believe this is how God wants his government to be organized, and this plugs into our common law tradition for organizing our posse comitatus in our counties. And the only task left is to organize our people. The vast majority of our people are not leaders. Okay, they need to just reconcile themselves that they are not leaders. And they need to make it clear that they're part of God's kingdom and they're willing to follow the directives of the council of the leaders. And from there, the task, the real serious task at hand, is to assemble our leaders and our governing body, like I'm trying to use that coronavirus jury verdict as a vehicle to do that, to bring people that are willing to stand up and speak out together around a single important issue that is clearly a part of the spiritual war that we're facing. So please, people that are disillusioned, I think the only reason you're disillusioned is because you don't comprehend that you need to find your place to fit in to God's kingdom here and be part of this spiritual battle. And most of you are just soldiers. That's good. That's honorable. But if you think you're more than just a soldier, then look at the coronavirus jury verdict and things like that and start communicating with the rest of us here that you're willing to assume a position of leadership in your own local community, because that's what we really need. And that's where our problem's at, in my humble opinion, not because people are apathetic or cowardly. After we get our leadership together, then maybe the apathetic and cowardly people will have more courage and have more confidence in following competent leadership. So that's what I believe can help get us out of this mess. And I think it's the mechanism through which God's Holy Spirit will actually flow to those of us that are really God's frontline warriors in this spiritual battle. I yield.
Yep, very good. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay, like I said, I got this recorded, so I'll put it up on the website as an archive for the Wednesday night program. Should anybody want to go back and listen to something I think they missed, or if somebody is busy and just wants to listen in, so I'll have that up hopefully later on today. Open mic if anybody has anything before we depart for today. Anybody? All right, I'm going to go ahead and hope everybody doesn't mind. I'm going to go ahead and mute folks so that I'll just close this out here in a second. There we go. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for this chance to fellowship amongst ourselves. There is a lot of consternation and anxiety today. We just hope that you would reach down with your Holy Spirit and pour that over us again so that we can feel your presence in our lives. I know a lot of us, we get caught up in the day-to-day hustle and bustle and the fear porn and all that, and sometimes that clouds out the good feelings that we get when we think about who we are and who you are, and that we're here for a purpose. We serve you. You are the King of Kings. It's certainly not the Satan. It's certainly not these evil demons in shoe leather. They're not the King of Kings. They're imposters. And so we're just trying our best to honor you and honor our brothers and sisters and to bring truth and justice and peace back on this earth and get rid of this demonic force that has risen up amongst us. And to that end, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings and protect us from our enemies. We ask that in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.